Well, come on. Right, you were caught. Don't let it happen again. 0845300956, the number here to the BBC WM studio. It's at Doolan at lunchtime. Next Wednesday, the government's comprehensive spending review will pave the way for major cuts in spending and undoubtedly major changes to how our public services are going to be run. Every area is going to have to take its cut, but even those that have had their budgets protected will face pressure to reform and spend their income more effectively. What will the impact be on how we care for people? Not just when we're ill, but when we're elderly and need that bit of extra help. David Cameron says the NHS budget won't be cut. But what about local government, which provides social care for people? And what role will charities be asked to play once the cuts take hold and the quangos kick in, or the lack of them? Steve Field is chairman of the Council of the Royal College of General Practitioners, and he's a GP based in Edgbaston. Steve, welcome again.
Oh, it's great to be here, Ed. Thank you.
Robin Miller is a senior fellow at the University of Birmingham's Health Service Management Centre.
Thanks for having me on today.
And Blanche Jones is public affairs and policy manager at the charity Sue Ryder Care.
Thanks
welcome,
for having
welcome,
me on.
Welcome. Right, let me start with you, Steve. Is it right that the NHS should avoid the budget cuts that everybody else is going to have to live with?
Well, I think it's absolutely right to protect the budget, but it's not quite as simple as that. Inflation runs at about 6 or 7% in health. And, of course, health has been increasing its expenditure over the last 5 to 10 years. So the reality in health is that that funds will be very tight. We will have to work differently, have to increase productivity, we'll have to stop doing some things which don't work, and really we're going to have to manage our money very, very carefully.
What are you doing that doesn't work?
Well, there are a number of... if you look at lots of doctors, lots of hospitals, there are operations that sometimes people actually don't need. The way the funding of the health service works is that hospitals will do more and more things, when actually perhaps there are other ways of doing things which relieve pain or are more effective. And then you get down into general practice, and the variation in the prescribing for general practice, it does vary across the region. So we can find some savings. There are things which are contentious, like homeopathy, which does have no scientific benefit at all, which costs money. So we're going to have to make some difficult decisions.
Let me ask you, Robin, is the health service spending its money well enough at the moment?
I think there is evidence that the health service has used a lot of the additional money it's got well. If you look at the waiting times that there have been in terms of elective operations, that's certainly come down over the last few years. And also life expectancy has gone up. Having said that, a lot of the additional money health service was given went on staff wages, which you can argue for and against. And the other issue, I think, which Steve was starting to imply, was it's about how we get people out of hospital and how we re-able them to lead more independent lives, so we cut down long-term dependency on health services and also social care services.
What's the view from the charity sector then, Blanche?
Well, obviously these services are extremely important to us, and they're extremely important to our service users. We provide care for people with long-term and complex conditions. Now, to put that in plain English, what it means is a person who's living at home who has multiple sclerosis and needs support to help them get up and about and get around. We can send carers in for them to help them to do that. Somebody who's had a stroke who can no longer live at home, let's say.
So that won't be effective.
We can provide residential care solutions. And then finally, if somebody's nearing the end of their life and needs palliative care support, they can receive that in one of our hospices or in their home, depending on what they choose. We do know that we will be affected by the spending cuts, but what's important for us is that we really prioritise and that we decide what we can and what we can't compromise on. And what we absolutely cannot and must not compromise on is the quality of the services that we're delivering to these very vulnerable people in our society.
How does it become more efficient, Robin?
How do voluntary sector become more efficient, or how does the whole system become more efficient?
Well, And the whole system,
the whole system, and for the whole system to become more efficient, we have to do what we said for a number of years, which is we have to put money in prevention, so preventing old people falling at home. We have to put it in reablement, so helping people to be discharged from hospital and to regain their skills, and also the idea of personalisation. So we have to work more closely with people so they understand what money they've got and so they can use it more efficiently.
Isn't it going to have to pick up the slack left by social service cuts, though? Dr. Field?
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the real pressures. On the other hand, when you have a financial squeeze, it actually encourages people to do things differently, which I think shakes people out of the complacency. So we do have a real problem with somewhere between 25 and 40% cuts in the funding of social care, depending on the council. And inevitably, the health budget will be further squeezed because of that. But I think by working closely between health and social care, you can actually personalise the care packages better, tailor something to the individual, avoid waste. And I think we could really do something very creative in that area, which perhaps we haven't done in the past. And prevention is an important one. In the NHS, the public health budget is going to be protected. But we need to make sure we use that wisely so that we have short as well as medium and long-term savings. And the falls idea is a good one. And some of the things about falls, you wouldn't have thought. The obvious ones are avoid medications in the elderly, which make them drop their blood pressure or make them dopey and prone to falls, through to let's get better gritting of roads, better help for people who are unstable so that it avoids them, even if they're not on medication, falling over. Lots of things we can do.
So, Robin, is there a worry that people who need help but may not be the most needy are going to find themselves left out?
Well, I think that's a real danger, Ed. And along with making things more efficient and reducing management costs, a number of authorities are looking at raising the bar through which people get social care services, and also increasing the amount of charging that they'll have for different services. And the trouble with that is, if you only support the people who are most in need, with most critical needs, you can't do the prevention work that we were talking about earlier. So one, people can get neglected, but two, you end up seeing people further down their condition when a long-term expensive package is the only option.
Your thoughts, Blanche?
I would agree. I think that prevention is really, really critical to this area. So it might be something like daycare services for a person who's living with a long-term condition that just helps them not only with the kind of nuts and bolts health and social care side of things, but also they get the chance to get out and about. They get the chance to socialise with other people who are in similar conditions as they are. And so I think really making sure that these people aren't just isolated and not able to receive the help and support that they need is really important.
Steve, if you raise the bar of medical need, what impact is that going to have?
Well, it's medical and social care needs, yeah, Isn't it? But I mean, there's some evidence that if you treat people quicker, so rheumatoid arthritis is one, the obvious other ones are cancer, but also heart disease, you actually cut down on the costs later on, because what you really want to do is have people as healthy and as fit, as mobile, social beings as possible. And then, when it comes to your time in your 90s, you die peacefully in your sleep. What you don't want are people with long chronic disease, it's bad for the patient and, very expensive to look after them. So what you've got to try and do is treat things early and avoid long-term conditions if you possibly can. So get out and identify your diabetics. That's a really big issue in Birmingham with the increasing ethnicity of the population. Diabetes is incredibly common, and people are dying too young and have too many side effects from and problems from it. So pick them up early, better treatment. If you look at arthritis, if you get referred quickly and you have treatment, which is more expensive, quicker, you have less disability later. And the evidence from some of the Scandinavian countries where they have an older population is that sort of prevention saves people having long-term disability, but it also then saves on cost.
You're joining in at home. You're welcome. 08453 009956.
Carl Chin on BBC WM.
You stand at Dudley Castle of a night time, just as the twilight's coming, and you've got the moon in the background behind the castle keep, and you look down over the valley of the River Tame. That is the West Midlands.
Birmingham, of course, was the first city in Britain to have a Roman Catholic cathedral following the Reformation. St. Chad's in the city centre, a most wonderful building.
Carl Chin.
From town halls and council houses and museums and art galleries to parks, but to little-known gems like the Mushroom Green Chain Shop in the Black Country.
Carl Chin, Sundays from 10.
There's so much to say what's good about the West Midlands.
On BBC WM.
What's any changes that might be coming? What's it going to mean to charities like the Sue Ryder Care?
Something that we've heard a lot about recently is the Big Society. The government's been talking about that a lot, and also what it will mean for